During our prayer time, pre-service, I promised everyone there gathered that you're going to want to fast. And Travis said, you better preach hard then, buddy. So I'm up for the challenge. I want to add my welcome to this new year. I want to start the year out like I do in many other times. I'm going to start the year out being generous. I have a few reasons. Kim Sandham, welcome back from Ireland. Wow, so good to see you. I want to give some resources. It's the beginning of the year. Every year at the beginning, I exhort you, I encourage you, read through the Bible. If you've never read the Bible cover to cover, this is your year. Do it. There's a YouVersion app that has hundreds, literally, hundreds of reading plans. This is one reading plan. And for those who like to touch the pages rather than swipe your screen, here's a read through the Bible. It's January 2nd. You're not far behind. You can catch up. So that's a resource. For anybody who's been reading the Bible cover to cover year after year, and you feel like you've plateaued, and you aren't getting much out of it as you would desire, then here's a resource, How to Read Your Bible for All It's Worth. And this will get you deeper into personal study of the Word. That's for someone. Then last year when I was on sabbatical, I was leaning in to my relationship with the Lord. I wanted to grow in becoming more Christ-like, and I had gotten a copy of this book. I still don't know who gave me this book. It could have been an angel. Some people are like, what is his theology about angels? But don't get distracted. It's called Revolution of Character, Discovering Christ's Pattern for Spiritual Transformation. Good word over communion. It's finished. Jesus has made you righteous. Our spiritual disciplines of Bible reading, of prayer, of fasting, of solitude, of silence, of journaling, of worship, of all of those things are from a platform of it's finished. We are in relationship with the Lord, and we're just growing deeper. And this, really, Dallas Willard's book, Revolution of Character, it's the best one I've read so far in growing more Christ-like. So those are gifts to someone. You can come anytime during the service and take that. We're going to begin, starting next week, a 8-week series preaching through our values. So Mike's going to start us on worship next week. I'll preach the following week on discipleship. The week after that, Catherine's going to share on authentic community. So if you don't know what our values are, they're listed on the website. Hopefully, we embody our values. They aren't just aspirational words. They're things that we actually live out. So we're going to be reviewing and preaching through our values over the next 2 months. And so that's what's on the horizon. But today, because it is our rhythm and pattern, I won't say tradition. Tradition sometimes is a word that people don't enjoy or prefer. But we start the year with a corporate time of prayer and fasting. We've been doing that for a few years. We're going to do that this year. Last year and the year before, we did it for 21 days. This year, we're doing it for 7 days. Because we can just do it in 7 days. There's a church in Highlands, pastored by a wonderful pastor, and they do a 21 days of prayer and fasting, and they do their corporate prayer times online. You should tune into the Church of the Highlands, Pastor Chris Hodge. And he's part of a group of churches, and his associate and really good friend, Gary Surratt, is Pastor Greg. Surratt is a pastor at Charleston, and I heard them tease each other. Highlands always does 21 days. It's must be in the Bible. Always 21 days, Church of Highlands. And Greg says, yeah, that takes them 21 days, and we only do it in 7 because we just are quicker. So this year we're quicker. We're doing it for 7 days. And it'll begin Friday the 7th and conclude with a night of worship on Friday the 14th. So you already saw information about that. All right, so my goal when I finish sharing this morning is that I will have motivated you and inspired you to fast. You're going to want to fast. And really, in a serious way, my real goal is if anybody here has never done a fast as a spiritual discipline to draw closer in your relationship with the Lord, to set yourself and apart to the Lord, if you've never done that, my goal is that you would do that this year. I really want to encourage you. It is a gift. Fasting, we perceive as this big sacrifice, this big drudgery, this big, I've got to give up things. And it is a discipline, and it does mean setting things to the side. But I want to give us a little bit of a shared foundation for fasting, and then I want to inspire and motivate participation. All right, so why do Christians fast? In the Bible, fasting is cover to cover. It's all over the place. It's a regular practice. So why do Christians fast and pray? And by the way, the week is a week of prayer and fasting that we're going to do corporately. And we'll follow this up with an email later on in the week. But prayer in itself is this enormous topic. I'm just not going to touch on it as much as I'm going to touch on fasting. I want to just take a bite size out of what is this mountain of information and focus on fasting, okay? So why did people fast in the Bible? Well, Christians fasted in the Bible, one, as a very specific humbling and repenting on a personal level. People would do it as a personal response. King David was fasting when he was convicted of his personal sin. Paul, who was Saul, right after he got knocked off his horse and he was blinded, he spent 3 days fasting as a humble repentance for his conversion into faith with God. People fast in the scripture as a grief response when calamity hits. After the death of King Saul, David and others fasted in grief over the death of their king. We fast in scripture as a way to cry out for God's divine intervention. A really typical passage and story. Queen Esther called the people of Israel to fast for a couple of days before she approached the king because they were in jeopardy of being annihilated. The people of Israel were about to be wiped from the face of the earth, and so Queen Esther called the people to fast with her before she went and approached the king. So we do it as a way to seek God's divine intervention. It's also done as a way, fasting is done as a way to seek deeper devotion with God. Just in our Advent series, we reviewed the life of Simeon, who was waiting on the Lord, and Anna, this prophetess. And it says of Anna in the scripture that she prayed, worshiped, and fasted continually in the temple. And so fasting is a way to seek deeper devotion. Fasting is a way of doing special preparation to set people and set seasons apart to the Lord. In Acts chapter 13, the church in Antioch is growing like crazy, and it says they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And so it was in a context of worshiping and fasting that God said, set these people apart for this special purpose. And that's some of the attitude I want us to carry into this week of corporate prayer and fasting. We are setting ourselves apart for this new year, and we're setting this season, this new year, apart as to the Lord. We're seeking the Lord in prayer and fasting as a way to consecrate ourselves and the year. Okay? And the best reason for prayer and fasting is because Jesus expects us to. Let's just do what Jesus wants us to do. And he says, when you pray and when you fast, this is how you do it. So we're actually going to look at that passage right now. I want you to listen. I'm going to read a pretty big chunk of Matthew chapter 6, and then when it gets to the fasting verses, you can look on the screens or just follow along. Matthew 6, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, you've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what you have done in secret, will reward you. And verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Current translation, take a shower, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these instructions and this example that Jesus gives us in these verses. Help us become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, there are three points in here that get rehearsed, and I hope you caught them. Here they are. Giving, praying, and fasting are normal practices of all Christians. When you give, when you pray, when you fast, it's normal. We're doing it. So maybe you've never given money to the Lord before. Do it this year, because it's normal. It's what disciples do. Maybe you've never fasted before. Let's do it. Let's start this week corporately, because it's what normal Christians do. When you pray, when you give, when you fast. Okay, so that's one point that gets rehearsed here through these verses. Another point that gets rehearsed is that when you do these normal discipleship things, don't draw a bunch of attention to it. He actually says, do it in secret. Okay? So don't draw a lot of attention to it when you're doing this. Now, what the scripture doesn't say is don't talk about this and don't teach each other how to do this. You know, I feel like fasting is like this super secret. We're like, we'll talk about praying some, we'll talk about giving, but we seldom talk about fasting. Fasting is like sex in families. That is tweetable. Fasting is like sex. What I mean is that we don't talk very much. It says here, do it in secret, but it doesn't say don't talk about it and don't train one another. Parents of children, when you fast, when you pray, when you give, tell your children what you're doing and why you're doing and explain it to them, raise them up and teach them. And some of them, when they're quite young, will want to do the same thing. And you know what? A 9-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 5-year-old who says, Mommy, Daddy, I want to fast with you, you won't harm them if you let them fast a meal. There have been times when we had our children who were misbehaving and we were saying, fine, you're excused from the table, go to your room, you can skip a meal. We'll do it for discipline's sake, Let's not hold back the treasure of fasting because of a spiritual practice, okay? All right, so by saying do these things in secret and don't do them for show, don't be hypocritical, we're not saying in Scripture, don't talk about these things ever. Okay. Third thing, there is going to be a reward in every one of these. When you do this, there is going to be a reward. There is an amazing reward for obedience when we do these things. Okay, that is not a thorough teaching of that passage, but those are the points I want us to grasp. So we talked about why Christians fast all through the Bible. We talked about this passage where Jesus says, when you fast, don't be somber. Don't draw a lot of attention to it. Why is Grace Covenant Church fasting and praying for a week starting next Friday? Well, we're not just doing it to follow our annual January tradition. We're not doing it to insist that some of you have got a train wreck of a life and you need to humble and repent personally. And so we're just doing this corporate thing to get a few of you to do what you need to do personally. I said that with a smile. It's okay. It is okay while we're doing this corporate prayer and fasting. If the Lord convicts you of something, lean into that. Do the humble repentance that he's calling you to do. But we're not doing a corporate thing to trick a few of you into getting right with God. We aren't doing it in response to some kind of corporate crisis. There is nothing looming on the horizon that is facing Grace Covenant Church's family that is imminent annihilation like the people of Israel faced. And so we're not calling this fast as an intervention of God into some kind of crisis. We're doing this corporate fast to invite every one of us to have a deeper connection and a deeper devotion with our Lord and Savior. When we remove certain distractions and certain things in our lives, and we take and pray and seek the Lord in an intentional way in its place, it can give us a deeper connection in our relationship with Jesus. We're doing it corporately to set ourselves and this year apart to the Lord. I already shared that focus. So we're doing it to deepen our relationship with the Lord, and we're doing it to set ourselves and this year apart to the Lord. And then lastly, we're doing it because Jesus says, when you do it, he expects us to regularly do it. Okay, what do you fast from? I don't even think this was a question, you know, centuries ago, but I want to address it now. We find people doing many kinds of different fasts and describing them, and that's okay if that's what the Lord called them to do. But all through Scripture, food is what people fasted from. That's the assumption. It's a food fast. When it says fast, you can almost always just insert fasting from food. Now, we've got all kinds of, you know, it doesn't anywhere say fast from your iPhone in Scripture, but that would be a really wonderful thing for some of us to do. It doesn't say fast from your recreation. It doesn't say fast from your fitness rhythm at the gym. Those are all things that the Lord tells you to go for it. But 99% of the time in Scripture, when it says fast, it's talking about from food. Now, there is one example in the story of Exodus where Moses came down from the mountain and he told the people to get ready, to prepare themselves, to consecrate themselves for an encounter with the living God. And he told those who were married, keep away from sexual intimacy for these 3 days. So Moses was clear that we're not just setting ourselves apart by fasting from food. He was saying, I want you to stay celibate, abstain from sex in the relationship. And later on, Paul, in one place, in his letter to the church in Corinth, says something similar. He says, hey, when you do this, when you abstain from sexual intimacy within the marriage, don't do it unilaterally, do it mutually. Decide together that you're going to do this thing as you seek me. So those are kind of the two exceptions. I don't find anything else in Scripture that people were fasting from anything other than that, and it was food. So by having our time of fasting and praying, I'm inviting, and as your pastor, we're encouraging everyone to fast from food. All right, so As Jesus was teaching his disciples from this passage in Matthew 6 about giving, about praying, about fasting, he didn't give them many details about the giving or the fasting, but he gave them a whole sample prayer in the area of praying. I think that's pretty interesting. Now, I don't know why Jesus was really in-depth and detailed about the praying and gave them an example, but was pretty concise on the giving and the fasting area, but I have a few ideas. One is I think that giving and fasting were so obvious and so practiced and so clear that they didn't need as much development. But I think another more clear reason is in the Luke account of this story, the disciples actually go to Jesus and say, hey, would you teach us how to pray like John is teaching his disciples how to pray? And so then he goes and gives this response. And so I think the sample prayer here and the extra detail on praying in this Matthew 6 account is really a response to a question they had. It's like, would you show us how to pray, Jesus? He had just returned from praying himself. And they said, would you show us how to pray? Because John the Baptist's disciples are being taught by him on how to pray. So he gives more information there. Now, some of us hate it when things are ambiguous and not very clear. Some of us love it. Some of us love ambiguity and uncertainty because it gives us ultimate flexibility to be free and do what we want to do. We are spirit-led, right? Because we're charismatic. So some of us flourish with things that aren't clear and spelled out for us, and some of us really benefit when things are more clear. So I just want to say, for everyone who flourishes in uncertainty and ambiguity and things aren't, that's great, because I'm going to tell you, just seek the Lord on how you are to fast during the week that's coming up. For those who like a little more help and specificity, I have something for you. I got a few clear options for you. So this is a super busy slide. Like, if you were trying to be a good communicator, you would not create this slide. But I didn't want to put it on separate slides because I didn't want to lure you into one option over the other one. Okay? So if you've never fasted before, or if fasting has kind of been this big mental block or barrier to you, then I would just say option one is for you. Fast lunch at the start and the end of our corporate fast. That would just be two meals. And instead of eating during that lunch hour or that lunch 30 minutes or whatever, get your Bible, find Matthew 6, open to this passage, and pray, read the Lord's Prayer out loud, and then just verse by verse, pray some prayers about your kingdom come, your will be done. Give me today this daily bread, and ask the Lord for his provision in the air. So if you have never fasted before, then here's option one for you. On the very first day, Friday the 7th, instead of lunch, go somewhere outside in your car where people won't think you're crazy for praying out loud, and do that. That's a wonderful starting point. Option number two would be to do lunch every day for the week. That'd be seven times that you fast, okay? That would be another option if you've never done this before, or if you've done it before and are looking for some kind of guidelines or option. A third option would be to do a complete fast for the first and last day. So that would be fasting breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then fast breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and come to the night of worship. You know, the presence of the Lord is powerful all the time. But when we prepare ourselves in a way that is special and unique, you can anticipate a move of God that is more profound and more noticeable. So if we all are fasting and do a total fast on Friday the 14th before we come and worship together, it's going to be really powerful. And it isn't yet. Fasting isn't I'm going to twist the Lord and get him to do something. Fasting is a way to set things aside and get our focus and our devotion on him primarily. Okay? And again, we aren't doing these things, options 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. We aren't doing these things to get God to forgive us and to love us. It is finished, right? He's done all of those things, and now we have this relationship in front of us to go deeper into. Option 4, do a partial fast, a Daniel fast, for all meals during our corporate fast. So there's terminology there that is just, I said, do a complete fast, which is all food on the first and last day. Do a partial fast. So what is a partial fast? Well, if you read through the book of Daniel, Daniel was offered this incredible diet and this incredible education, and he said, hey, the things that you're asking me to eat from the king's table are unclean to me. I just want to eat raw vegetables and fruit and nuts. I don't want all of this rich food that you're talking about. And so they let him do that. And so a partial fast is to fast really from certain groups of foods, certain types of food. So you can read more about that online. So complete fast, number three, partial fast, number four. Number five is a complete fast of all meals, not just the day. And so that's a fifth option. And the sixth option is for all of you people who hear from God and don't need the five options I just gave you. Do any combination that the Lord leads you to do. All right? Okay, we're gonna reference this a little bit later, but there's some options. Now I wanna make a promise to you and give you a guarantee. If you choose, let me change that. When you choose one of these options to participate in our week of corporate prayer and fasting, I promise you, you will draw closer to the Lord. I promise, I guarantee it. It's actually a promise God has already made in Scripture. Here's what Jeremiah says. You will call on me and come, and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. So I promise you, church, if you will set even just one meal aside, don't eat, read the Lord's Prayer, and do what you can to draw near to Him, I promise you will be closer to God at the end of this week. Because His Scripture says He will, and He keeps His promises. James 4 says a similar thing. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. It's His heart. So I promise you, I guarantee you, that if you will do any one of these six options over our week of prayer and fasting, you will be closer to the Lord at the end. And here's my guarantee. If at the end of the week you feel disappointed in the results of your fast, or at the end of the week you feel like God actually is further away and more distant and you're more frustrated, I will repay you for every meal you skipped. And I won't even use the church's funds. I'll use our funds. So actually, Merle and Sue are guaranteeing that you will be closer to the Lord. I promise you. And if anybody takes up one of these options and doesn't feel like God comes through and you are connecting or are experiencing more closeness with Him, I really want to know about it. And I really do want to pastor and encourage you in whatever way I can. Reimbursement, if that's what it takes. I want to conclude. How are we doing on time? We're doing all right. I want to conclude by reading a few verses from John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, there's this story of Jesus encountering this outcast woman, this Samaritan woman at the well. And it gets the whole story is used frequently to talk about salvation, to talk about true worship. Worshippers will worship the Lord in spirit and truth. That comes in this John 4 story. So Jesus and his guys are traveling, and they're going through Samaritan territory, and most good Jews would skirt it, but they go right through it. And then Jesus sends the guys into town for some food because they've been traveling a while, and he stays at the well, and then he has this conversation and then this encounter with this woman. And so that's the context. He's having this amazing conversation with her at the well and says, if you knew who you were giving water, I would give you eternal water and you'd never thirst again. And she's amazed by that mystery. So this is where I want to pick up and read a few verses at the tail end of this story. So then the disciples returned and were surprised to find Jesus talking to a woman, but no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking to her? Then leaving her jar of water, the woman went back into town, and she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Then meanwhile, verse 31, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. That's something. Now this is mystery. His disciples did their errand. They went to town. They got the food. They bring it back and said, Rabbi, eat something. He says, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could somebody have brought him food? Somebody give him a snack when we were gone or weren't watching. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Another translation says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me. My nourishment, my food. The message says, the food that keeps me going is that I do the will of the one who sent me. When we do God's will, and fasting and praying and giving is doing God's will, when we do God's will, it gives us powerful, spiritual, supernatural nourishment. There is an power and an energy that is imparted. There is a grace that is given to our lives when we're obedient to God and do his will. Jesus began to share with this woman, and he just blew through the lunch hour and didn't miss it. He was interacting. He was walking in the purpose of God. He was doing what God had for him in that moment, and he totally didn't miss his meal. It says, as the story develops, that he was invited back into town, and he spent a couple days, and he shared the good news that Jesus loves and Jesus forgives and saves people, and the whole town got turned upside down hearing the good message of Jesus. We don't know if Jesus just skipped lunch or if he continued to skip eating his meals all through those few days. Whether it was one meal, whether it was multiple ones, there is power. There is a grace that is imparted to us when we do what God asks us to do. Obedience strengthens us. There's another place in Scripture where Jesus fasted. And this was one of those mega fasts. This was the Ezekiel 40 days complete fast. Complete fast meaning no food of any kind, 40 days. In Luke chapter 4, right after Jesus was baptized, it says, now Jesus, who was full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild, and for 40 days and nights he was tested by the devil in the wilderness. Jesus ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. So for 40 days, before Jesus began his ministry, he fasted of all food. And it says he started that 40 days being led by the Spirit to go do this thing. The Lord led him. The Holy Spirit led him. Full of the Spirit, it says, he was led into the wilderness and he fasted. And you would think that after 40 days of not eating and being tempted and tested by the devil, you would not only be hungry, as the scriptures say, you would be exhausted. But this is what it says at the close of that section in Luke 14, chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee powerful in the Spirit. He went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. He came out of 40 days of not eating powerful. powerful in the Spirit. That's what fasting does. It gives us a grace. It gives us a nourishment. It gives us an energy. It gives us power that is supernatural, and we wouldn't have any other way. So, right now, some of you are so excited by the truth of fasting, you want to start today rather than waiting till Friday. Knock yourselves out. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. So while Emily plays some anointed keys, I want, if we could throw that fasting slide back up, I want you to just listen to the Lord. My heart's desire is that every one of us would participate in some level of fasting during our week of corporate fasting and prayer. So there's your options. Listen to the Lord. I'm going to give you a little bit of time and then close us. Okay, church, I invite you to stand. We've put together a one sheet resource that we call a fasting guide. It has some other recommended reading. It summarizes some of what I shared. This piece of paper is available on the offering box as you go out. It's also on the table by the exit doors. It's also on the coffee tables on the north doors. I would really encourage you, if you got thoughts, questions about fasting, pick up one of these fasting guides on your way out. That's a resource for you. Ministry team, would you just come forward and stand and be ready to pray for folks at the close? I want to send you out with a benediction, a prayer of blessing, and then if you want prayer for anything, then just come forward, and those who are here will pray in faith for whatever thing you want prayer for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your faithfulness all through our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness, especially over the year 2021. And thank you for the possibility, and thank you for the things you want to do in our lives in 2022. We embrace and say yes to your work in our lives this year. Thank you for calling us to seek your face and to draw near to you. We embrace all that you have in store for Grace Covenant Church in 2022. We embrace your will and your purposes for our lives together. I bless you with new faith and special grace to fast and pray. I bless you to experience deeper communion and intimacy with God. I bless you to experience nourishment that comes from doing the will of God. I bless you to grow more and more like Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, church. God bless you as you go. Come forward if you want prayer for anything.